Looking for a guiding hand in your Amazon business? Wizards of Ecom Academy is here for you. Our personalized support system includes unlimited email access to myself and my entire team to help you overcome challenges and strategize effectively. Sign up for an exclusive rate at wizardsofecom.com/academy. Your personal e-commerce coach awaits.
Welcome to the Wizards of Ecom, your no-fluff playbook for online success. Each episode is fully packed with actionable tactics you can implement in your business right now. Take your life to a higher level and excel in your online success. It's time to work on you and your business. Let's do this.
Welcome back to the Wizards of Ecom podcast. My name is Carlos Alvarez. I'll be your host for the show. On today's episode, we have veteran Amazon seller and the host of My Amazon Guy YouTube channel, Stephen Pope. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Carlos, thanks for having me on.
Stephen, on today's show, I wanted to talk about product launches, the sexiest topic in the Amazon space, always amongst PL sellers.
Everybody always needs to launch a new product, right? I need to launch like 17 of them simultaneously and fill up my closet with samples, right? Is that how it works?
Yeah, right. Launches, relaunches, relaunches of relaunches. It just constantly launches. Specifically in the show, I wanted to talk about how you approach product launches and why people are getting it wrong as they approach, because that's what I see the Facebook chats filled with, is how people's product launches did not work. On a side note, though, before we jump into that, I wanted to share a quick story with you that I don't know if you know.
All right.
But I was leaving the Westgate Hotel, and I was super late because there's some in Vegas at Prosper.
Sure.
And the taxi, there's so many different exits to the hotel, and I didn't figure it out even till the end. But my taxi driver, my Uber driver, had been waiting as long as he could. And I finally figured out the exit, and I'm walking out the door, and somebody hands me a card. And I am 100% carded out at this point. Right? Like I'm completely done here. But I do the whole obligatory dance, like, oh my God, thank you so much. And I look at the card, and it says My Amazon Guy on it. And I'm like, hold on a second. Like, I freaking know this person, right? From a distance, I'm not sure we've met in person, but from a distance, I'm like, I know who this is.
Did he have a little resemblance to me? Just a tiny bit?
He did. And he shared.
Let me pull my hat off.
Twins. No. So I was like, hold on a second. I know this guy. Like, I know who this is. I really, how do you know this person? He goes, proud as punch, man. He goes, I'm his dad.
So I just slacked him while we're in this podcast, and he says, I remember him.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Great.
My father was a weatherman in Utah for like four decades. And when he, you know, ended his weather career, it was really sad for him. Right. So, you know, the TV industry is totally crashing. And when he ended his weather career, he felt like, you know, he was rejected, you know, just going out of a dying industry. Right. He was in the elevator on the way down. So when I gave him the job, and then every day he runs the sales department for us, which is why I sent him to Prosper. Every day he gets on a phone call with prospective clients who've watched 10, 15, 20 videos on our channel. And they're like, oh my gosh, you must be the proudest dad ever. So instead of being on the way down in that elevator, now he's on this Amazon elevator on the way up, and it's a dopamine hit every time for him. So yeah, God bless families. And I hope everybody, you know, go give your dad or mom a hug, or whoever in your life you love at this time. And cause those are great moments.
If I recall correctly, his name was Dan.
Yeah, that's right.
Dan Pope. Yeah. So, shout out to Dan Pope on the show. Thank you for the card.
So if anybody, I'm glad to know my dad was doing his job. That's always good too. But if anybody wants to talk to Dan, you just got to go to myamazonguy.com and hit contact, and you can get on the phone with him in like 30 minutes. So
speaking of which, what is My Amazon Guy?
We are an 80-person agency, full service, and we basically focus on two things: traffic and conversion. Anything digitally that affects those two things, that's us in a nutshell. So on the traffic side, you got SEO and PPC, of course, conversion, you got design, cataloging, and merchandising. I think the part that most people get the wrong the most, though, is the cataloging, which is our great segue into how you mess your product launches up. So with product launches, a lot of people are like, you know, I need everything to be perfect before you launch, right? And there's some merit behind showing up in all of these, you know, sections and attributes and making sure you got your six photos and your video live, and make sure you actually have a title that's written, make sure you have bullet points, and the list goes on, right? But it goes a lot deeper than that, of course. And A plus content obviously is very underrated. Amazon claims it's not indexed, but it totally is, right? There's 100 characters per photo in alt text that you could fill in. So here's your 5-minute hack today. If you want to get your next product launch right, you got to do a ton of things. And the one thing you probably don't want to do is spend an extra 15 minutes filling your alt text in for your A plus content, but that's exactly what you should do. And if you already launched listening to this, go back, click on edit on your A plus content, go to your alt text and fill in 100 unique characters of keywords per photo. And I guarantee you, if you test this, you will see an increase in your keyword rankings. Here's proof. Despite Amazon claiming they don't index this, I dare you, go change one photo's alt text to Spanish keywords related to your product, mind you. And within 48 hours, I bet you it will index for those keywords. So there's a lot of things that people are underrated, aren't paying attention to, but the number one thing that I think people are relying upon historically over the last 2 or 3 years that's really diminished in effect is external giveaways, rebates, and hacks. I think those really need to be retired. They still probably work on occasion, probably have some effect, but definitely diminishing returns. And so when I did my last product launch, I launched a Mother's Day kit. Age of Sage is the brand name. So if you want to check that out, you can check it out. I'm very public with all of my own products because I use them as basically test tube cases to showcase to everybody. And I launched this product 3 weeks before Mother's Day. And I sold $135,000 in those 3 weeks with $11,000 in ad spend. And I did it with one product review. That's it. No giveaways, no Google traffic, no email blasts, no Facebook, nothing. No rebates, none of that. I didn't even use Vine. Didn't need to. If you pick a product that is in a vertical that's correct, and you just show up and you optimize to all of these sections that need to be done on Amazon, your product is going to succeed. So we can talk in depth about all the PPC campaigns that need to be set up correctly. We could talk about like how I A/B tested my main photo 3 times on PicFu. There's a lot of layers to this, but that's the gist, right? I picked a product in a keyword section that was growing. That's the important selection. That's the number one thing you need to make sure you do when launching a product. If you're selecting a Me Too product, you're co-opting demand, it's got to be improved and better, right? We've been hearing that for years. If you're going to pick a product that's going to create demand gen, you have a lot less likelihood of succeeding, but the upside is 100 times bigger, right? 10% chance of success, 100 times more payout.
Let me cut in real quick because you're dropping a lot of good stuff. But would you then say that you are a fan of the saying you sell keywords and not products on Amazon?
No, I do think that keywords need to be chosen, and you need to keyword stuff like hell, right? That needs to happen. But at the end of the day, if you are selling horse poop, nobody's going to buy it. Unless your card's against humanity, in that case, they might. But so I think it was bull crap in their case. And then they actually literally shipped it out too. So it's a good story if someone wants to check that one out. But all right. So take just one keyword though, Mother's Day gift. So 1 year before COVID, this term had, I don't know, like 700,000 search volume during Mother's Day week. So 700,000 people sought that one keyword out. COVID 2x that, you know, basically 1.5 million. And this year, it almost doubled again. That one keyword. That means post-COVID bump, there are categories that are still accelerating and still growing at exponential rates. So I saw the data. I knew that was going to happen. And I picked an item in a category that I knew was going to substantially grow, which allowed me to enter the space and co-opt it and create massive amounts of sales in a short time period without gaming the system. It's easier to be the only one versus being the best, right? That's a mantra. It's probably a Den Kennedy thing from years ago, right? So,
the kill card here is product selection. It sounds like you're starting there. If you get product selection wrong, ultimately there's no hack in the world that's going to save you, but you have to hit product selection correctly. So you chose the, what was the name again? Sage?
Age of Sage. I'm launching brands after the name of my kids. So my 2-year-old girl,
that's awesome.
Her name is Sage. We have other brand names coming out, and it's actually, you know, supply chain is so jacked up right now. It's like really difficult to get everything I want as an entrepreneur, right? Like I'm that classic visionary where it's like, I want 100 things and my team's like, pick 3. And I'm like 10, but whatever. So Age of Sage, Mother's Day kits. And it, you know, it had like a wine tumbler, and it has, a bath bomb and some lotions, right? None of those individually are, you know, ground shattering items, right? Like there was no demand generation here. It's all co-opt. But because the demand was 2x year over year, there was plenty of room for me. So product selection, absolutely. And the biggest tip that I would give a lot of people is don't let the data select the product for you. Select the product, then go look for the data to support the product selection. If you try and go to market with a fat burner, you're dead on arrival right now. Why? Because fat burners are banned from advertising. And Carlos and I know a few things about banned ads. We've both had gone through that gauntlet. My number one wine glass is still banned. I literally ranked organically number one for the term wine glass back in January and February of this year. And it was for a wine glass that had a silly saying on it, something along the lines of, you know, I'm not drinking alone, I'm social distancing, right? Super silly. Obviously, I didn't come up with it. I was a Me Too product, but I crushed it for whatever reason. Well, Amazon banned it, couldn't advertise it. I fought for months. I created, you know, half a dozen YouTube videos about the series of things I tried to attempt to fix it and lost that battle. So even the pros and the Amazon experts lose battles on Amazon all the time, right? And so like, I'm going to give you this percentage, right? I think for every 3 products that I launch, only 1 succeeds, 1 fails entirely and like loses money, and the third one breaks even. And so when somebody listening to this and they're like, well, if Stephen Pope's getting 1 out of 3, what are my chances, right? Well, here's how to improve your odds, right? Pick a product you understand and know. It's critical. If I was trying to go to market with a toothbrush today, and I'm not a dentist, and I'm like, my target demographic is everybody with teeth, I'm screwed. Like, I'm totally screwed. People in marketing, your job is to profile people. In the political climate that we're experiencing, and I'm not going to go to politics, but I am bringing this up as a relevant marketing mantra, they're casting too wide of a tent. Everybody should buy my product. No, that is false. That is the absolute worst garbage I've ever heard. No, you do not sell your product to everybody. You sell your product to a very specific niche.
Can I put you on the spot though? So Absolutely. Everyone listening, I feel like I understand what you're saying, but like, let's go with the toothbrush. Be like a hot seat moment. Can you give me a specific example? Put your marketing, Amazon marketing hat on, right? Toothbrush. You do have this toothbrush and you know that it's bad to try to sell it to the entire world and everyone that has teeth. Like what would be an approach? Not selling everybody that they should go out and sell this toothbrush, but like what would be an approach for you with a toothbrush?
This particular example is a real world example. I had a client where I got them on the phone and they were selling an electric toothbrush that attached in the shower. And they told me that their target demographic was anybody with teeth. So Carlos, let me ask you, would you brush your teeth in the shower?
I don't.
Right? So we already knocked Carlos out. Like he is not the target demographic, but Carlos, you have teeth, right?
Absolutely. Hanging in there.
So right there, we've already nailed down that there's obviously some niche here that we don't understand, or at least the person who manufactures this particular product does not understand at the time of that dialogue. And as we got deeper into the weeds, we realized that we were probably targeting a very specific niche, probably somebody who has worse hygiene or has a teeth condition or a gum condition where they have to be extremely thorough, we're talking nursing homes that somebody's going to help, you know, bathe somebody and also brush their teeth at the same time. And they have to go a little bit more thorough. So they need some power action, water, you know, things going at the same time. Like those are the, that's the kind of layering that you're looking for. And I'll give you one more example. This one's probably even more memorable, right? But it's really silly. So go with me here. But if I asked you, what's the target demographic for a Russian mail order bride? Obviously, you're not going to buy this on Amazon, but just give me first thing that comes to your mind. What do you think the target demographic is for that?
If I was going to go broad like the toothbrush, I'd say single men.
So yeah, we got to narrow it down though, right?
Yeah.
So give me your best, like narrow down,
I would say socially awkward single guy in the United States.
So the funny answer here is three-time divorced truck drivers. And look at your face. Like the moment I say it, you're like, oh, of course. Right. Yeah. That's the kind of demographic targeting you need to figure out with your product, which is, I think this kind of segues us into like how to go to market once you've selected the product. Like, so you got to understand who your target demographic is before you even source this thing. And then once you source it, you need to market to that target demographic. Because if I go to market with a Russian mail order bride and I target three-time divorced truck drivers, my conversion rate is going to be way better than if I targeted just single men in the United States, right? And it's obvious once you identify, it's super obvious. That's how you know marketing is working. So if we were to look at the secondary images of your item, said item, whatever item it might be, if you haven't narrowed down your target demographic that narrowly, then you need to redo your imagery. So you need to have a picture of somebody who meets that exact year and age. Could be aspirational, right? So if you're selling a hemp cream, maybe you're, you know, okay, here's another great case example. So we worked with Mike Tyson's product called Copper Gel. I actually did get a Zoom meeting with Mike Tyson. We initially went to market with this product targeting sports athletes. Hey, after you do a workout or you box like Mike Tyson, rub some of this hemp cream on you and you'll feel better. Well, when we looked at the data, who actually bought hemp cream for pain relief? Wasn't men, wasn't sports athletes. Nope, it was 55-year-old women. So we redid the entire marketing. And obviously, you know, this was not the punch it out type of product that Mike Tyson should have been behind on this particular type of item, right? But so long story short, you gotta target the right demographic. You gotta figure out who's gonna buy it, and then you gotta have all of your marketing. So we redid all the imagery with old women, aspirational. They were attractive 55-year-old women, but we didn't put a 22-year-old boxer, you know, on the front page of this one.
And obviously, the sales
immediately doubled. Immediately, right? Like the moment we were talking to the sort of person who had the highest conversion rate, they obviously immediately doubled. And so now if you're wondering like, oh crap, I've missed the boat. What do I do here? This is what you do. Hopefully you have brand registry at this point and you got some data right now. If you don't have brand registry, go get a trademark today. You can file that immediately. We can help you out with that if you need. But get your brand registry up and go look at the brand analytics table. If you haven't looked at your own demographics of your own item, you're missing the boat. Go in there and see where your target demographic is. Are you selling to 22-year-old women or are you selling to 55-year-old men or somewhere in between, right? Once you know that, then make sure you have models that depict the use of your product. This is what I like to call humanization of your product. If you don't have a picture of a human using your product in the secondary images above the fold, you're missing the boat. Show me banana for scale product in use, actual real world shots.
Let me cut in. I got to throw this in. You're preaching to the choir here for me. I organize an Amazon seller meetup group and I get this, what I'm about to ask you, I'm going to forward this question to you. And that is, I don't know if my product's going to sell yet. If I go hire models and all this other stuff, isn't that expensive? Or shouldn't I just wait until I see that it sells before I start hiring models?
That's a great question. Stock photos until you know. Right. So I cut corners all the time as a seller because I like to prove that it works. Right. Like, so don't look at my listings to follow my listings to replicate. Don't do that. I'm not following all the best practices. I'm breaking rules on purpose. Once you once you've been around, sometimes it's helpful to break the rules to prove it to other people, like what, where the limits are, right? So that's what I do. So if you look at my wine glasses under the brand name Momster, you will not see a single real world photo of a model, not a single one. And in my category, it works. I'm selling silly wine glasses with funny sayings on them. Sometimes I have a beer glass like this one. This is the way. And that's my favorite design. And I can get away with it in that category. But many categories, like if we were selling makeup, beauty, those sort of things, unacceptable. You have to have a model, right? So know your category, know your limits, look at what your competition are doing to see what you can get away with. But absolutely, if you're trying to, you know, if you're on a budget, right, you're under a $10,000 budget, you're not, you don't have $2,000 to do a photo shoot. I get it. But you probably do have $20 to spend a stock photo and send it over to Fiverr or Upwork or wherever to get a graphically inserted item banana for scale, at least directionally support the item at the very least. And then once your item takes off, then go hire the model and spend the money.
Do you have an agency of choice that does that, or is this something you guys do in-house?
So we do everything digital, nothing physical touching. I really like two photo agencies, Products on White Photography. They're out of Chicago. And then there's also another one, Fast Photography. Both of them do really good. Both of them are really fast. I hear great things about both. So I do have a third party services page on my website. So if you go to my amazon.com, scroll to the very bottom left, you can click on the third party services. So Fast Product Photography Service, that's one of the ones that we've had a lot of good recommendations for.
Okay. So product selection, critical. You get this wrong, you're dead in the water. What about prior to product selection? Because what are you using? You mentioned going through keywords and evaluating keywords and looking for what's growing. Do you have a tool of choice or combination of tools that you use?
So my favorite tool is Helium 10. That's not going to shock a lot of your viewers, but the one that's up and coming, the one you guys got to check out, is Zonguru. And I did a podcast one time. Somebody asked me in my audience, they're like, hey, how do I see, somebody sent me an email and they said they could see my backend search terms to my product. And I was like, how do you do that? And I was like, I don't know. I didn't know that was possible. Right. This was, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago. And then I pulled my audience. I was like, do you guys know how to do this? I don't know how to do this. That's really cool. You can see the search terms of somebody else's product. And I got like 6-7 emails in 24 hours and they all told me about Zonguru. And I was like, never heard of it. So I go check it out and they have some tools that nobody else do. And they've been around as long as some of the other powerhouses, but I think they just have more of an upstart kind of feel to the software. So I definitely recommend Zonguru for sure.
They have a great blog, by the way. A little side note, I was just looking at an article. What was it about? It's irrelevant, but it was really, really well done. So that's good to hear.
But regardless of what software you do choose to use, I think that keyword data has been commoditized. So for example, I used to pay Conductor Searchlight for my own website SEO keyword tracking, like $4,000 or $5,000 a month, a decade ago, right? Like I've been in the SEO game a long time. You know, one other plug just to kind of give you some experience here. I used to run the SEO for a website called Apmex.com, American Precious Metals Exchange, which sells gold and silver coins. And I increased their SEO traffic by 10 million uniques year over year. And I did it based on focusing on keywords, right? So I've taken like some of those mantras from the Google SEO days and tried to, you know, pound them into the Amazon space. Many of them don't work, by the way. But the ones that do is optimize every attribute. Your search term fields, your alt text in the A+ content. And here's what's really critical. SEO is not set it and forget it. It's a continual optimization. And here's a way to impact that. If I said, Carlos, I want you to spend $10,000 a week on my Age of Sage product, and I never want you to change a bid or update a keyword, you'd think I was crazy, right? Absolute crazy.
Absolutely.
So don't do that to your SEO. First of all, invest a few grand into your SEO by one means or another, right? Like your time, or pay somebody to do it and optimize the heck out of it, because it's a sunk cost that doesn't have easily trackable returns. But when you launch a product, I'll give you some baselines. You will know if your product launch succeeded based on sales, without a doubt. But if you want to know if your product launch succeeded from an organic keyword standpoint, you should be at 1,000 keywords indexed by day 30. 1,200 by day 60. And when you're ready to enter into what I call SEO phase three, you should have 50 keywords in ranks 20 through 50 specifically. And you're going to try and matriculate those to try and get to the, you know, out of the striking distance zone up to ranks 1 through 10. So there's measurable targets, KPIs that you can set on a product launch to determine whether it's working, you know, what your conversion rate is, your traffic, your click-through rate will affect your main photo. We should probably talk about main photo. This one's critical. So have you ever launched a product and you're just like, what's wrong with the listing? Why is this not working? Happens to me often, right? First thing I always do, I always look at the main photo. It's got to be the problem. The main photo has got to be the problem. It almost always is. So one of the things you guys got to do is run a pick-foo test to figure out how to fix it. So, and I'm pick-foo certified, by the way. They actually have a test for this, believe it or not. And so I ran three tests. I ran the first test and I was like, okay, I made a better improvement here. Ran the second test, but I wasn't sure. I was like, something's still wrong. It's not working. So I ran the second test, made a slight improvement, still was not confident. The third test, I tested it, my photo against my direct competitor, and my competitor beat me at an 8-to-2 ratio. And I was like, frick, what am I messing up? And so I looked at the listing and the photo for hours, and I was like, okay, it's got to be how they position the product in the photo. So I made the changes. I replicated the success of the competitor main photo, right? And in this particular case, it was my Age of Sage products. So I'm going to grab this and show you. And there's just so much stuff that's going on with this item. It has a card in it, which complicates things. It has a wine tumbler, and it has all of this fuzzy stuff, right? So when I try to figure out how to shoot a main image for this, it's very complicated. I'll try and do a little close up. And again, like super messy, right? Like, how do you get a main image of this to work? So our raw images had all of the crinkle showing up and kind of like over slightly coming over the top of the item, because that's how it would ship, look natural. That's not what the consumer wanted. They wanted crisp, clean, easy to see products inside of the box. So when we graphically altered the crinkle out of the shot, the click-through rate went up 2x within 24 hours.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at this. So I see the box. You opened a nice white box. It says Age of Sage, has five products in it. What crinkle were you referring to?
I guess I may not be defining this correctly, but this crinkle stuff. This
stuff. Yes.
And maybe there's an official word for that. I don't know. But in any case,
So you remove the crinkle and
we layered we took the raw box, we cut the image, and we relayered the items back on top of the box, put the crinkle underneath it, and had to graphically layer it. And when we did that, CTR, click-through rate, doubled for the item. And so you can run tests like this, and you guys might think I'm crazy. This is minor, right? Like, it's just crinkle. Clearly it wasn't. Clearly it wasn't minor. And so you guys got to run A/B tests on your main photo to figure out like where to improve it, right? We've run, you know, 50 different pick-foo tests in the last 3 months. And I've learned a lot from looking at this test data, and I'm always trying to guess like which one's going to win. And so sometimes showing more of your item. So like we did a pick-foo test on a blender item. And in one shot, it just showed the blender. In the other shot, it showed some of the accessories it came with, like USB accessories. And that one won 70-30. And so sometimes you got to showcase your add-on value in the main photo to get them to show up to begin with.
On average, and I mean, include client stuff here. How much are you usually spending on pick-foo polls
not per much. Product? Yeah, not much. I would say $50 to $100. It's super dirt cheap. I do have a promo code, My Amazon Guy. So if you go to pickfoo.com/MyAmazonGuy, you can get 50% off your first promo. You know, that'll get me a coffee. I'm an affiliate, but I get nothing. And I would run that on every single product launch before you make the purchase. Because if you do this in the correct way, you are going to know what to do in the manufacturing process to improve the item. For example, Are you not certain what color you should be launching your item in? So if we go back to my item here, hot pink, not necessarily the first color you might choose, right? When you're trying to get a mom gift. Well, I purposely chose the less popular item. Why did I do that? Because everybody and their dogs was doing teal and nobody was doing hot pink. And I knew that being the only one with that color would increase my conversion rates, even though less people would be interested in hot pink.
That's interesting. That takes that's a gut check there. You're looking at this. You have to truly understand everything that's going on to know I'm going to intentionally pick the lesser color, and I fully understand things so well to know that's actually going to do much better for me than if I did go with the most popular color. It's going to do better for you in your bank account than it would be if you picked the popular color.
That's it. It's extremely important to look at the data, make decisions, but also go with where you believe your truth is, right?
So I had a reality check with Amazon last year. I won't go too deep into this, but I had an issue with them and it had to do with my ads. Well, I had an issue with them that was affecting my page position. And it basically pushed me out into the, I had this mindset where I must be first, second, or third on all my keywords and top of rail, full placements everywhere, top of everything on ads. And I did that. But this thing that happened with Amazon pretty much found me sitting mid-page or at best fourth or fifth position on most of my keywords. This went on for about a month. And when we looked back, this is going to sound nuts. We were actually more profitable sitting in positions for profits, like 4, 5, and 6 than we were 1, 2, and 3. So it's weird.
From a PPC angle, that, you know, the amount you pay for position one, it's exorbitant higher. I mean, PPC costs are up 30% in the last 7 months. It gets nuts. So, yeah, yeah. So your position, you were talking organic position?
My organic position went, and we adjusted our PPC spend because of it, because we were going through something with Amazon and we're just like, let's scale back a little bit on this and we don't need to be, you know, top of the rail on sponsored products. Like let's just float somewhere in here. And we had less volume. We had less volume, not as much less as we thought, but we had much more profits.
So I wonder if that's because you had index coverage from hundreds of other keywords that you were probably not paying attention to, but delivered. But yeah, there's a healthy friction between profit and growth. And a lot of, you know, my agency, we're like all growth, right? Like if you wanted to make profit and you hired us, it would make zero sense, right? Like our core, we're all about growth. But you got to decide, like on a scale of 1 to 10, like, and if you haven't decided yourself, you're listening to this, I would encourage you, pull out a piece of paper, write a 1 on the left, which is profit, and a 10 growth. What's your number? What is your number? Leave a comment and you know, let Carlos know what your number is. And if you're a 5, you're going to make different decisions than if you're an 8 or a 2. Very, very different decisions. So in Carlos's case, you know, they shifted from growth and went to profit a little bit more. And Carlos was comfortable with that. So you got to decide where your comfort zone is.
Yeah, absolutely. What let's try to pull this into something that someone could just listen to. This quick bite could totally sum everything up. Top 3 things you do to successfully launch a private label product, and maybe top 3 things that somebody does to get them wrong, or maybe they're just the reverse of what you do.
Sure. All right. Pick the right product. Make the main image perfect and run every advertising campaign available in Seller Central. Those 3 things.
From launch.
So we didn't talk about advertising yet. And so I know I got to be quick on this, but there are so many ad segments that are available that are undertapped, underutilized, and people are not using them. So some people are like, oh, only run auto campaigns. Some other people are like, no, just run exact match manuals when you start. No, do it all. You got to run every single one of them. When you're launching, go ham on that PPC. You should be running display. You should be running video. You should be running category targeting. There's so many different segmentation types. Run them all.
You must get, you must catch a lot of hell for that, because I agree with you on that, but that's like not accepted. It blows my mind why somebody would say, you know, don't run display or don't run something else during launch. It's a launch. Like, aren't you supposed to go all in?
It's, yeah, this is the Texas Hold'em poker chips. Okay, I've got pocket aces. I'm going all in before the flop moment, right? That's what this is. And if you're not comfortable doing that, cool, see the flop, then go all in. But don't wait until the river, right? Like, don't wait till that fifth card flopping over before you put your chips in. Because if you do, there's going to be less chips in the pile, right? Like, this is straight up Texas Hold'em strategy right now for those that aren't tracking. So same thing with Amazon. There is a honeymoon period. It's absolutely 100% exists, but it's not critical, you know, to create the listing and go live immediately. Like, there's, you know, there's some theory out there that matters. You could still just pick a launch date, set the date inside of the settings section to, you know, limit your exposure before you have your honeymoon period and all that. But long story short, be ready day one, like Jeff Bezos would say, on your listing with everything optimized, FBA stocked, your video, your photos, your main image, your title, your bullets, your A-plus content, and every PPC campaign, and go ham for 2 weeks. Make or break those 2 weeks are for you. And then you're going to leap and bound over all the keywords and the rankings if you do it this way.
What's your go ham cost over those 2 weeks for PPC?
So every product's going to be different. There's a lot of variables here, but my Age of Sage Mother's Day kit, I made $135,000 in 3 weeks. I spent, you know, $11,000 on ads. And so I generally recommend people spend 30% of gross sales month one, 20% of gross sales month two, and get as close to 11% tacos as quickly as you can month three plus. And 11% is the average target. So some people are going to be higher than 11, others are going to be lower, but 11% is the average target category. You know, doesn't matter what category. That's the target most people should be shooting for. So that means if you want to make 100K a month, spend $11,000 on ads. If you're not at that amount, you might be leaving sales on the table. If your conversion rate is higher than 18%, you are leaving sales on the table. You should be advertising more, 100%. Your conversion rate's too high.
You familiar with that 25-25 rule?
I'm not. Go ahead.
It's, I think it was Kerry Masters from Bobsled Marketing. Was when I first heard this, but it was the 25-25 rule was that no more than 25% of your ads came, the 25% of your sales came from ads while maintaining a 25% ACOS.
I can get behind that. Yeah. I like the 11% tacos mark a little bit more, because I think it shows the sustainability of the item. And it's a good high level metric number. But the 25-25 rule makes sense.
Good stuff. We didn't cover the three things people shouldn't be doing. Like, basically, if you get to be president for the day over PL launches and you're telling people the three things that you've just seen are sinking campaigns or that very quickly are going to kill people's future launches even, what would they be?
So I think we covered them kind of indirectly, right? So like, if you do the opposite of what I said, those are what the things you shouldn't do. So don't launch your product with one photo, right? Don't launch your product without A-plus content. Don't launch your product without spending money on PPC. Like, just bottom line, don't do those things. And make sure you pick the right product, because if you don't, then no matter how good you are at the rest of these things, it's going to be irrelevant.
You know, we just had an entire podcast, like, we're coming to a close, but we just had an entire podcast and we didn't mention things like, and I'm curious where you stand on it. Personally, I'm not a fan, but where do you stand on things like rebates?
Totally against, morally against, first of all. And second, I think they used to work really great, like viral launch, cool program, rebate key, you know, but nowadays I wouldn't even touch them.
I love it. Something else we have in common. Before wrapping this up, a way for people to get a hold of you?
So podcast@myamazonguy.com. If you want to send a note, I also answer every comment on YouTube. If you stop by my YouTube channel at youtube.com/myamazonguy.
And I ask everybody on the show this, it's more of a personal thing. I love to read and this helps me build my book list. If you name a book that I have not read, I will buy it after the show and read it. What is your favorite book and why?
It's on my shelf here. So this is the book, The Black Swan, And this book indicts the bell curve. This book, Nassim Taleb, and I love it because it was the first time where I heard statisticians be indicted heavily. And this dude's like, Jesus was a black swan. The casinos were spending money on anti-hacking problems, and they were actually losing their money on insurance problems when they constructed the buildings. And nobody talks about this stuff. That guy talks about this stuff. Definitely read that book if you haven't.
It's a heck of a book. I've read it. I've also, Fooled by Randomness is That's another book that he has. It just blows you away. Stephen, huge thank you for coming on the show. I know that you're, if you want to mention something about my Amazon guy hiring.
Yeah, we are a growing team. We got 80 people. If you listen to this podcast and you're like, hey, I'd love to work at my Amazon guy, send your resume over to jobs@myamazonguy.com. We'd love to talk to you. International as well as domestic.
Stephen, you killed it. Thanks again.
You're a great interviewer. Thanks, Carlos.
Everybody else, I'll talk to you next week.
All right, we'll see you.
It was fun sharing this episode with you. If you found value in what you've heard, please show your love with a subscribe, rate, and review of the show. Until next time.